Okay. So we're holding here in the Pirsha Mishnayis. Now, I photocopied various things from the Pirsha Mishnayis. Some of it pure hashkafa, some of it which I just felt was just interesting to see the Rambam's take on a lot of things. You know, it's Sichas Chulin of Talmid Chachamim, and this is, I mean, his Pirsha Mishnayis. The way he talks about certain things and the way he describes them, I thought was very important. So, you know, some of it will be kind of curious. The last Mishnah we did was the first Mishnah in Masechtas Peah. So that was Ashkafa ish in Nekuda about Mitzvahs Banu Chaver, Meram Lamakom, and so on. Next one is the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis in Masechtas Peah, Perek Hey Mishnah Vav. And it says over here the Mishnah Darshins. Altasik Gvul Oilam, and it darshens Gvul Oilim with a Yud. So he explains it. Umasha'ama Oilim, Vapazgama Oilam, Lo Yikshe Beinecha, Shaze Alderach Drash, Ume Ikre Lashna Koidish, Ki Oisius Hemshich Vahanoyach, Yishalfu Ktsasim Ktsasim. It is not something which is unusual for words to be left out, for letters that are silent letters to be left out. It's true in any language that a letter that's not used in the spelling falls out many times. You look at archaic English, look at modern English, and therefore it's an appropriate drasha. He's not suggesting that a word fell out of the Torah, but he's saying it's not an inappropriate drasha to say that oilam and oilim would be the same thing, since the yud is only there for to round out the chirik. So it's not as if you say oilayim, you're saying oilim, and it's a big chirik. You can dash oilim and oilam, and therefore there's nothing wrong with it. The Rambam, we'll see, there'll be two or three that he speaks about language. Rambam's very important, you know, that there was accuracy in the language and that Chazal not playing with it. The next one in Kalayim, Perek Tes Mishnah Ches, is a different topic. It says over there about shatness. That shatness is niloy zumelis, means it twists and turns a person away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, v'niloy zumelis hu noyte min ha'emes, hu marchik rach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimeni, and he's merach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? In other words, why is shatness of all the mitzvahs, what's bad about shatness? What's the terrible stuff about shatness? So he says, le'ovroi mitzvah she'tzivah kash baruch hu, bedovet she'ein boi taiva she'tachrichem, v'zeh oven gadol. There's no physical craving to wear shatness clothing. It might be that it's cheaper, it might be that it looks a little snappier if you put in some flax, but it's not like Macholos Asuras or Arayas. We have a strong physical urge. So b'meila you have v'zeh oven gadol. So this is especially big avera when you can't. It's one thing when your physical urges are pushing away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you say, listen, my first layer of self is my physical self. And if I'm hungry, I don't care, and mitzvahs sort of are swept aside. But here you didn't have any physical craving. You were sitting down and cold-bloodedly making a decision. Is it kedai do this? Is it kedai to do that? That's something that's Marker Baruch Hu. Ogzeiras nilos zemelos mimilos alilizim enechad. That just explains that the word nilos comes from yilos menechad. The Rav also says that, and so on. Okay, the next one is also a Rambam in about language. This is the first Mishnah in Truma Perkal Mishnah Aleph. Omram b'chola Mishnah Torim v'toireim v'yitroim. Bala loshen v'achroini makshin al zeh. The Baal HaTikvah asks, v'omrim k'asherish is herim u'meirim v'yorim. It's not Torim, toireim v'yitroim. V'zu eino kushamitis. It's not, that's not a good question. Kivon she'ika kol ha'loshen ma'ashenis, hu choyzen ma'ashadam boi ba'le oise ha'loshen, u ma'ashenishma mehem. So he says the main determination of a language is the people who speak the language. U ma'ashenishma mehem. Ve'elo ba'le mishna b'le sofik even ha'im k'amon. The ba'le mishna were Jews who lived also in Beretz HaTzvi. They obviously were using that language, and that's the way they said it. Hine zurayish mekubal b'loshen, v'shezu amila loshen l'shein esivrim. So that's the best proof that this is mekubal in as a correct way of saying it, and that this is the proper Hebrew pronunciation. All the people that will accuse the Mishnah of using language that's awkward or words that are not, they don't have the right vocabulary. So he says, I don't say something. They lived in Eretz Yisrael. They spoke Hebrew. They knew what they were doing. You live centuries later, a millennium later. So how are you coming along and asking questions on them and so on? If I say this, must be it. So let's discuss two or three points here. First of all, in the beginning, it sounds like he's taking a different tack. And this is Benoigea, actually it's quite popular today. Let's say in English, we all were taught that the word ain't, A-I-N-T, is not a word, and it's terrible, and it's not kilchosa, and ain't a word. And therefore, the word ain't is puzzle. Okay? Everybody uses it. So what makes English? Who makes a decision? What's English? Words have come to language or have left the language. So in France, for Marshall, they have the French Academy, which determines what is, they decide what is appropriate French, what's not appropriate French. So whatever they decide, that becomes the law. And only those words are the right words in French. Okay, so if French is defined as what the academy says, then yes, that definition, then we could say it's not correct. But if language is what English-speaking people speak, so the people who are writing about something, whether it's correct English or not correct English, are really poll takers. They should be saying 90% of people use the word ain't, so that makes it a good word. English is the language spoken by people who grew up speaking English. That is the language. So b'meila, it defines language. The Rambam doesn't quite say that. The Rambam starts off, it sounds like it, and then the Rambam says that mehem nikach raya and so on. Because in Lemaisa, we hold that Lashon Kodesh is not what people made up, but what has been, given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, whatever it is that people decide, whatever it is that people, make up, is irrelevant. So all you can say is that what people are doing is probably right. I want to use this as an analogy, off topic, like a parenthetic remark. The same type of logic is misconstrued as follows. There was somebody who, I don't know, a dozen years ago, 15 years ago, went on a crusade, and he wrote that Judaism is a mimetic language. It's a language that works by imitation. And when you start standing around with a book and a Mishnah Berurah and Paskin Shailos the way it says, you get it wrong. Yiddishkeit is what you saw your parents and grandparents do, and that's how it works. So this person has an axe to grind that when he grew up in the 50s, a lot of things were mutter because everybody did it. Today, so many things are awesome because people found Sifim Shachar to Sasser, and that's terrible. This person brings proofs as follows. There's a shaila about picking the bones from the fish, and I think the Mishnah Berurah says that since in this place they did it, it's mutter or something like that. I don't remember exact raya, but it's along those lines. So the person being the raya infers as follows, that if people in a city do it, then it's mutter by definition. And that's what the place can bring around. You see, they did it here, you see, they did it here, so it's mutter. That's absolutely krum. It's wrong. What the halacha is, and you find it, poik chazim amadaba. There's a halacha, go out and see what people are doing. It means that it's highly improbable that an entire city are doing things that they shouldn't do, that nobody was ever meicha, nobody told them fakert, they just went off did their own. There are always people who do wrong, always people do fakert. But if you see the right minyan binyan of a city is doing a certain way, bal karchach, it has a mok in a shush, it's a raya, it's not a cause. It's a proof that bal karchach, there's a good mocker fit and a good cherish, and it was, and gedolim agreed to it. But it's not the fact that anything that became degenerate stays the way it is. That's just nonsense. So in language rules, I think he means just a riot, that's the way it is. There's another very interesting point about the Mishnayos. The Rambam writes that the Lashon he's going to use in Mishnah Torah is the Lashon HaMishnah. The Rambam writes about Rebbein HaKadosh that it was a Sholem in language. We saw it, we learned it in the Zakdam and the Bereshit Mishnayos. He's very, very taken by the need to have a precise legal language. And therefore, to him, the idea that the Mishnah, made by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which specializes in being the language of Torah, Torah itself, that in Bereishis Shmos Vayikra B'Midrash Varim, does not have the vocabulary to allow us to teach halachas. Chazal, the Mishnah, gave us that vocabulary. So, to impugn the reputation of Bala Mishnah and Lashon to him is corrupt. It undermines the Mishnah itself. Okay, let's see. The next one is in Rambam Truman's Pekal Mishnah Beis, who speaks about Cheresh. How come, it's just a sort of an observation of his, how come you call a dumb person, a mute person, a cheresh? Because he says most of the time, the reason for not being able to speak is that the person never heard language to start with. I'm just pointing out. The Rambam in Masechta Shmos Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. Hanochrim, he says, over there we're talking about the fact that a goy can be mafish shuma. Afal pi shein chayovim b'mitzvus im osum em shum doveh shem ktsas schar. Even though they're not chayiv b'mitzvus, but if they did it, they get some schar. Ve'zer min ha'ikar shalom. Ve'kiv shei mishtat v'manu b'schar ma'aseyen b'mitzvus chayov mikashetira. So so b'meila, if they do a ma'isa mitzvah, it's chal. In other words, he's magdirit. Goyim ashayach to the olam hamitzvus mitzad the toichen shaboy. They're not shayach to olam hamitzvus mitzad the tzivi shaboy. The ktsas olam habi means is because it is. It's a kiyum hamitzvah. It's a ma'is hamitzvah for him. So goyim have a kiyum of mitzvus, And that's another way of saying the it's another word of saying that the Einem Mitzvah Vaisa. But Einem Mitzvah Vaisa doesn't just mean I'm not Mitzvah when I do it. Oisa is a means that something was done. Mashal, if a person if my monkey will do a mitzvah, he sees me shake the lulav and esrog and he's enchanted by it and he takes the lulav and esrog and shakes it, so it's nothing. He's not shaykh to the world of mitzvahs at all. There's not, it's not the pshat, it's not a mitzvah the koif. He's not shaykh to any maisa mitzvah. Akuma shaykh to maisa mitzvah, but they're not mitzuvim by definition. Goes on mitzvah mitzvahs, and b'meila they have ktsaschar, and if they did it, l'moshe d'mafish shumas ma'isrus, it's chal for that reason. Okay, next Rambam is in Bikurim, Perkal Mishnah Dalet. I'm sorry, it's sort of random things, but this is the order in the Mishnayos, and whatever it is, the Rambam, when he's noches to say something, it's always worth his listening to it. Kolzim of Welsh, Psak Halacha Mevi Hager Atze Bikurim, Vikoyre. So the Shaila is whether a ger is, it brings Bikurim and it's Koire or not Koire. The reason why he's not Koire is because the reason why he wouldn't be Koire is because it says Shonasat Lavisenu. He did not give it to the office of the Goyim. So how can they say Shonasat Lavisenu? So he says, "V'somchuze l'masham Hashem Yisbarach l'Avram ki av ha'moin goyim nesaticha." And Kashbar told Avram, "Av ha'moin goyim nesaticha. I made you an av for umas ha'olam." Omroi, he told him, "She'av ha'yisa av la'ram, achshav ata av l'chol ha'olam. U'mipneize yochol kol ger lo'ima asher nishbata l'aviseinu." A ger can say truthfully asher nishbata l'aviseinu, "Lefi she'Avram hoya av l'chol ha'olam." Avram was av ha'olam. How, what, why, when? How was he an av? Lefi shu limdom emuna. So, because he taught him emuna, that's why he's an av. I want to talk about this point. This is an incredible point. The Rambam asks over here, in what sense was he an av? He was a big tzaddik. He didn't give birth to my male. If you say noya, Adam, so yes, it makes sense. What sense? This is a taught him emuna. Ma'inyan Shemitah Har Sinai. What Inyan Emunah is a wonderful thing. The Teretz is a few things. First of all, the Sheirish of Ruchnias is Emunah. So if the word Av over here, in the sense that it's an Av Ruchni, is teaching Emunah. Two, the Ramban says, famous Ramban, that emuna is something that we pick up from the avos. It means that every person has certain basic beliefs that he keeps coming back to. People's basic ideas of what's good and what's right and what's just and all these things are certain axioms that a person picks up, and it picks them up from his parents first and foremost. The first person that teaches us not good, be good, and so on, are parents. The Ramban, the famous Ramban, who says that when you tell over your child about Maimon Har Sinai, it's very accepted because children know that their parents don't lie to them. Occasionally a parent can, quote unquote, pull a fast one, but on the basic beliefs, on the things that are core emes to me, I want my child to know. And that's why people are so resistant to somebody trying to be mechanech a child away from where they are, because in a certain sense, the basic of right and wrong, that's that I want to be my child to know it the way I know it and understand the way I understand it. So the Avraham Avinu, by planting emuna in the world, was giving them what the chelek ha'avus was. He was giving them, you know, fatherhood in that sense. I once heard the word from Soloveitchik. It says, "Betchilois hayav esena ibda v'rezara v'ashkivon amakum elaterasai." So, he says, "Lachur." That statement is not right. I mean, Terach was always our grandfather. It's just that it shouldn't say "Betchilois hayu avisena ibda v'rezara." The same obvious that we're talking about Terach remained the Avod Zarah. So what's the pshat mitchil Avod Zarah? He should say, you know, our first obvious of Rishonim, so Avod Zarah, but not mitchil Avod Zarah. Nobody changed really. Some learning goes on Avraham Avinu himself, but it's not the mashmas of the pasuk. So he said, what changed was the definition of what a father is. Before Kadosh Baruch Hu took Avraham, the definition of a father was biological. And biologically, our grandfathers are Avraham and Sarah. The concept of fatherhood changed. And therefore, it now became something else, and not and that no longer is the Avraham and Sarah. Next piece is a Rambam in Erevin. It's not, it's one of these things where I'd like to just look a little bit at the Rambam's scope of things and so on. He says, the Mishnah there has like a description of a when you weave together sticks and straw to make is something. The question is to measure the circle with the diameter. Yesh Chaladas, he says, ki yichus alachsoi ha agula elamisayvay say beliyadua. The proportion of the diagonal. Not diagonal, diameter to the circumference. Bili yadua, bilti yadua is unknown. V'efshe ledaber boi la'olam be'emes, and we can never really describe it or define it. V'chisorin zu ha'saga, eina mi'itonu k'machsheves hakata nikas galia. It's not that we're missing knowledge or understanding that somebody's a secret that somebody has that can let us understand. I don't know what he's referring to, the Chavakat. Aval hu betivi zeadova b'li yadua. It is be'etzem something unknown. Ve'im b'mitziusa sheyusag. It cannot ever be understood. But we can estimate it. In other words, he's talking about pi, the ratio that succumbs to the diameter. He says it is a quantity that has no real mitzias. In other words, we don't have any two numbers whose proportion will exactly give us that number. But we have a very good approximation. This is exact description of pi, meaning it's something that it's an irrational number. It's a number that cannot be expressed as the ratio of two other numbers. So it's almost as if there's two sets of numbers that are not interchangeable. No amount multiplying one will give it the other. But we have good approximation. And you know, people who know math have made books on this. To figure out be'erech du yachas. V'derech ha'moifes b'zeh ha'kirov ash'olov soymchim ha'chachmas ha'limudis u'yichus ha'echot l'shloisha v'shvias. It is 3 to 1 and a seventh. is the closest that we get to it. Bekola gula shebalachsa shel ama, anything that has a diameter of an ama, yebeh kefo gimel amas shis bekev, will have approximately 3 1/7 ama be'erech. So, which is an approximation of pi. Olafi shezelo yusag loyla, ela bekiruv. He said, since this number is anyway not a real number, in other words, if we were able to pin pi down, then it's very possible they would have used an exact number, even though it's a pain in the neck. But, you know, with a lot of fractions and so on. But it's not. So, once the number, no matter what, is an approximation, so they said a rule of the thumb. Ve'omru, kol sheyesh be'kefa gimot fachim, yesh b'rechav tefach. Ve'sam chalzeh be'mesh, utzuchalav min ha'medida b'teira. They use that rule of the thumb for anything that needs measurement in the Torah. A few interesting points about this. So first of all, the Rambam explains that the reason why Chachamim for Pi used 3 to 1, this is one of the questions they asked, because people knew already, but in the time of Chazal, it was known. So he says, it's never an exact amount anyway, so you might as well take an amount that's computable, much easier to compute and so on. There's another Nekuda here. So, that Chazal uses it, we understand. The problem is, there's a pasuk. It says that the yam, Shlomo made around yam, and it was 30 in the circumference and 10 in the diameter. So over there, it really does sound that it's something that is exact. That's a pasuk in the Torah, and in Navi, how do you get around that? How do you understand that? So I think the pshat is like this. Let's think a little bit about what a circle is. There's no such thing as a perfect circle. What I can say is something is circular. So let's take an example. Imagine something is very elongated. It's like a very long ellipse. So over there, the diameter is a half of the circumference. Think about it. Imagine like a very long bean-shaped thing. So it's almost as if you have three parallel lines come out, the middle line being the diameter, the two lines in the side circumference. So there you would have a relationship of 2 to 1, and that would be the circumference to the diameter. That long bean shape is not a circle, not defined as a circle. Let's say we start making it rounder and rounder. So we begin to sort of, instead of having three lines almost parallel, we begin to round it out. When is it enough of a circle to fit what the Torah describes as a circle? The answer is when you get to 3 times 1, it's round enough to be considered halachically a circle. The pasuk defines that. So in a chanami, it was somewhat elongated, somewhat elliptic, but lemaisa, it for the eye and for use, this was already considered a circle. A circle is a halachic standard. It's like asking white. There's dinim avat. What's white? White comes in a million gradations. Circles are also, they're not perfect. They are a long, elongated thing that's twice as big as its diameter, slowly fleshing out, becoming more and more circular, till you get to 3 to 1. That's, I think, Pshat in that Gemara. Tosfos does ask about that the new pi, but lemaisa, I think that's pshat. When we talk about circle, we're not talking about absolute mitzias. We're talking about a halachic standard. A sukkah cannot be a circle. Let me ask you this. So at what point does circular become a circle? Those are the type of questions that you have to be done on. Okay, we'll hold it. Any questions? I'm sorry. So, yeah, the Torah calls it Ogel. So, Ogel is not, there is no perfect circle. So, Ogel means circular. Now, there is a famous Goyen over there, extraordinary. This is really like sort of he says, you take, it says the word for diameter is Vekavoy, which means it's line. So he says, I don't remember if that word in the Pasuk, it describes the line, or it describes, I don't know if it describes the diameter or the circumference, I don't remember. But it says Vekavoy. Vekavoy is Ksiv Chasa without a Vav. So if you take the Mole over the Chasa and multiply it, times the size, you get pi to within, I don't know, a huge, you get an extraordinary you get an extraordinary approximation of pi that was beyond what they knew until recently. I mean, very long, I think it's 111 over 106, if not mistaken, times 3, I guess. And then you get really, really an extraordinary explanation. I think there's a going like that. I've seen it printed out there. The developer talks about it. But that's up here in Mises, it's fascinating. But I think a Derech HaPshat, a circle is, you know, at what point is something considered, if you, a contractor builds stuff. So when you say it's going to be straight, aligned straight, how straight is straight? With a microscope? With a plumb line? With the eye? You know, all these things have in the Dovah Shir. So you could say it's a certain legal standard rather than a real metzias. Wood or metal, there's wood and there's metal. There's no woodsy or metalsy. But when you're talking about straight, you know, in the Dovah safe, you know, you can start looking what type of instrument. A scale, is a scale accurate? The word accurate has to have a definition within plus or minus what percent or and so on. Okay. Next week, I don't think I can do Tuesday. I might be able to do Wednesday. I don't know if it's Nagea or not. But Tuesday, I for sure can't do next week. So you let me know if Wednesday is Nagea or not. Okay, Beseda. Yeah, okay. So we'll leave it tentatively for Wednesday. What? Okay, so we'll leave it tentatively for Wednesday. Okay, take care, bye.